Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. Today, I have Hannah Griggs on the show, and this is not our first try doing this episode. We have, both of us are wives and mamas first and foremost, so we've had lots of life happening in the past month that has tried to inhibit us from doing this episode. And today, Hannah has her four kids with her this morning as her husband is out. And so, please just give us grace as we get through this episode. And if she's got kids making noises in the background, just know that it is her duty and her love first and foremost before ministry. And so that's what I love about Hannah is she is a wife, she's a mom, and she puts those things in the right place. And then she's also a ministry leader. She's incredible. And I met her at a time where we were both really passionate about inner city ministry and doing life with kids and mentoring kids in our area of where we live, where we could just love on them. And so that was kind of what bonded Hannah and I. And she truly lives a countercultural life, one that is one that even some of her family members have questioned. Is this the safe thing to do? Is this the best thing for your family? And she has just continued to make choices that have really, really been kingdom focused rather than self focused or focused just on her biological family. She is a mama to two boys, I think in middle school and high school, and she is the legal guardian of them. So within the past 5 years, she's gone from zero kids to four kids. So Hannah, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk. And yes, thanks for your patience and all of this with little kiddos running around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a mama too and growing another one. So if I'm out of breath, it's because I've got a human growing inside of me. And motherhood is just, it's a beautiful mess, I think.
And absolutely.
Before we jumped on here, Hannah and I were just kind of talking about travels and how we had my little one had an ear infection and he was throwing up and pooping in the car seat, and that's just motherhood and it's just real life. So Hannah, first and foremost, tell us why you are passionate about living a countercultural life.
Yeah, I would have to credit probably one person that really just stood out to me growing up, and that was my grandmother. As a young girl, I watched her live very differently from anyone else we knew. She was constantly having people in and out of her house. She kept us a lot when my parents were busy or working, and I would just watch her give to so many people. And my grandparents honestly didn't have very much, but I saw how rich their lives were in so many other ways. They just lived really full and rich lives. And when I saw that, I was like, man, I want to be like that one day. But little did I know that that would kind of start out in high school. And the Lord just very much called John Mark and I to a life that we, at this point, were not planning. And it's been really cool just to see the last several years him work and guide us. And you look back over the last few years and every single step he's kind of equipped us to where we are now. So being countercultural, we know like Jesus loved us first. And so then we can love others. And that's kind of the foundation of what we try to live off of.
That's incredible. And it sounds like your grandmother was very hospitable. And that I think is something that you have done really well and something that we also have in common, just wanting to have kind of an open door policy in our home because we know that our home belongs to God. And it sounds cheesy, but it's true. Like if we truly believe the gospel, then we're able to open our homes to the people that, to friends, to family, to people in need, to kids that are, don't have a good home life. And it's just incredible to see what God does and how he grows our hearts in the ways that we don't even feel equipped to do so. So tell us a little bit more about your family. As we've talked, it's grown over the past couple of years. So how has it grown and how did it all happen?
So Joe Mark and I guess we got married pretty early. I guess we were 20 when we got married, and we had Mac, our first son, I guess 4 or 5 years after we had gotten married, and he is now 2 and a half. But when he was 6 months old, the Lord just presented an opportunity to us to have Justin and CJ. They started staying with us a lot. It's a really long story, but we now have legal guardianship of them, and they've been living with us for about 2 years now. And then at the same time, we've had Will, who is 8 months old. So I have 4 crazy boys living in our house, and it is a blast and so much fun. I love being a mom to them, and CJ and Justin have just added so much, not only to our house, but to our family, to our church community. And the Lord just made it really clear at that time that they needed to stay with us. And so they were part of Chattanooga Sports Ministries that I was the director of for several years, and we had a relationship with them, and their mom got sick and is still battling with some sickness, and they didn't really have a place to go. And so the Lord kept telling John Mark and I, we want you to open up your doors and have them at your house. And we, kind of like Jonah, just kept trying to find every way for that maybe not to happen, because we knew this is not going to be easy. And every single time, he did not let us go much time at all with having that in our minds, and something would change, or John Mark and I would see something or hear something that would make us think, oh, like, they need to be at our house. This needs to happen. We need to continue this relationship. And then it's been so cool. Not that we need the Lord's confirmation when he asks us to do something, but when he gives it to us, it's really nice. And knowing, like, this is a step of faith, but he's just confirmed so many times that this is where they need to be. And so from the legal process of that happening, to the support we've gotten, to the scholarship opportunities they've had to go to school, just so many different things led to them being at our home. And so, like I said, we have legal guardianship. We're not sure exactly what the future holds with that. We just kind of hold it really lightly, but we know that they are part of our house. We view them as our own kids, and it's a big blessing to have them here. And then Mac and Will love them. It's really neat. They don't know any otherwise that we have the two boys at our house, and so they view them like brothers, treat them like brothers, and Justin and CJ are so sweet with them.
That's incredible. And living on mission, like you said, it's not easy, but when God calls us to it, we have the opportunity to be obedient. So how would you encourage someone who's listening? When have you kind of felt like you've signed up for it? And when is it just an act of obedience? And what would be your advice to other Christian women that are maybe facing some similar decisions?
Yes. Oh, man. I would say John Mark and I really try to start living a prayerful life. You know, we would pray when we were first married and pray together, but I think our prayer life has changed a lot over the last few years. And I know sometimes that can sound cheesy too, that, you know, you pray about things and sometimes you don't directly hear from the Lord like we think we do, but he is just constantly open and closed doors for us. And it's not always been in our timing and how we think it's going to happen, but man, has he been faithful to show us. And so we definitely, I think, start out in prayer. And then we have a few really close people to us that are mentors and people in our church. And then our family is a huge blessing too. Both John Mark and I grew up in Chattanooga. Both of our parents are here. We're really close to our siblings and family, and so we have a natural support group with them that has evolved and changed even over the years with the boys coming, and just the way that they have loved us and loved on the boys and been just huge supporters of them. But I would say finding close people who you can have pray with you and for you and say, will you please show us and help us pray that the Lord would open and shut doors. And even this last week, that's always my prayer, that the Lord would just show me. And sometimes he shows me and I don't like the result of what he's saying. And sometimes an answer is no to something I want. And I think I've been really challenged even this last week. How do I respond to no's and how do I respond to yeses and wait? So that's kind of the season we've been in the last several years, and just trying to be sensitive to the Spirit leading us and moving us and showing us yes or no. And a big part of that has been, I'm really passionate about work and serving and ministry. And when I had Mac and Will and the boys come stay with us, I kind of had to take a little bit of a step back from the full-time ministry I was doing, which was hard. I really miss that. But ministry in our home looks very different now than it did when John Mark and I didn't have kids, and mm-hmm. we could give a lot of time outside of our family walls. And not to say that our family still doesn't serve. We serve in a lot of ways right now. It just looks a little bit different. But I really miss that career side of ministry and nonprofit work. And it seems like every time I've tried to take a step towards a job opportunity right now, the Lord has kind of closed the door and is saying, I want you to be home. And so even though that's not an answer necessarily I've been wanting, I'm having to rest and that the Lord is going to give me the strength and the peace and the ability and the talents to do what he's calling me to do right now with our kids and in the ministry at our church that we're involved in. But it doesn't always look like we want it to look. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And that's such an honorable decision to make, to be home more often, because I think that so often strong women and driven women and women that have a heart for ministry sometimes can put the cart before the horse, or just, I love this quote that just says we can have all things in life, just not all at once. And so when right. God has put something on our heart, sometimes we feel like, oh, we have to be a mom and do this thing that we feel God's put on our heart. And maybe in a season when the kids are off to school, or maybe when they don't need us as much, or, you know, there's different Definitely. Seasons where
and
we can.
And I think just being a team with John Mark and knowing what his needs are, and his career right now is really taking off. He's had to put a lot of time in studying, and it's kind of been a back and forth kind of seasonal thing where, you know, I can kind of serve and do a lot of things up front. And then I kind of have to take a little bit of a back seat and let him shine and do his work and take the time he needs to do what he feels like God's calling him to do. And then the coolest thing is that we both have a passion to serve together. And so we have those ministry opportunities that we can do together as well. And that's what we love. When I was doing CSM, we were very much both involved. And I think that's why we're so passionate about it, is it feels like the Lord's called both of us to that. And so just knowing when those seasons are, praying through that, knowing what the Lord's really guiding you to. But we've taken some pretty big steps of faith in our family, in our house, in our careers. But the Lord has continued to be faithful and showed us where he wants us to be.
That's incredible. And I just really love your heart for just making sure things are in the right place. And I think that today's world is all about the hustle and all about being self-made. And I love that you are so driven, so motivated, and you are a leader, yet there, I wouldn't say you're a hustler. And I love that about you. And I try to fight against the culture in that way too, of even so many ministry leaders are building brands and things like that. And, mm-hmm. and it's all about them. And you don't see a lot of Jesus. And when I look at you, I see a lot of Jesus. I see a lot of humility. I see a lot of decision making that is done through prayer and through fear of the Lord. And I just really, really love that about you. And I just always want to have women on the show that, yeah, they can be strong women leaders. I want women to know that they can lead well, but also with the right perspective of seeking first the kingdom instead of our own gain. And it's so easy to get caught up in, but I just really love that about you. So kind of
tell us. Sweet. We haven't gotten it down at all. Perfect. It's a daily conversation that John Mark and I have to have, but we feel like the Lord continues to just show us, like, this is where I want you to be. So that's what we're trying to do.
Totally. And that's where prayer comes in, and being in biblical community comes in, is that we can talk through these things with people and get perspective. And hopefully right. we're surrounding ourselves with mentors and family and friends that can speak mm-hmm. life into us. And so tell us a little bit about your career journey. You went from a teacher to an executive director of a ministry, mm-hmm. children's ministry at your church, and there's also a potential of a new role on the table, and we haven't caught up since then. So what has this kind of progression looked like, and how have you kind of navigated, like you said, when to jump right in and when to kind of wait on the Lord?
Yeah. I think the coolest thing, looking back over the last few years since I've been in college, even in high school, it's just been this theme that the Lord has continued to equip me for the next role that he's putting me in. And so when I was in high school and I just found this love for inner city ministries, we were in high school memorizing Isaiah 61. It says, I've anointed you to preach good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And at that same time, I was just really exposed to a world that I hadn't been a part of. And that was neighbors close to me, that I would see and not interact with. And so the Lord just really implanted in my heart, you need to be with your neighbors and people that are close to you that you are not interacting with, that they're the same. And so I started with Chattanooga Sports Ministries and started coaching for them. And they work with kids all throughout the city in four main neighborhoods that we make soccer teams, and they compete against each other. And so I had a team of girls that did not look like me. I had never been a part of their culture before. But that moment that the Lord put that on my heart has changed our lives. And that's very much changed my career decisions on who I feel like I want to serve and be around. And so from Chattanooga Sports Ministries, I then taught at CGLA, Chattanooga Girls Leadership Academy, and had taught science. So I had a group of inner city girls that I was teaching, and that I'm still to this day really close to, and the Lord used those relationships. And at that same time, I had just been a coach for CSM and they needed executive director. So I think John Mark and I had just gotten married, and I think I was like 23, and John Mark was like, you're absolutely not stepping into this role. I was like, I really feel like this is what I need to do. So after a lot of prayer, we got on the same page, and we were like, this is what the Lord's calling us to do. So I stepped in as an executive director at 23, which looking back was nuts. I don't know what the board was thinking at the time, but I like loved it. And it was just my passion. And the Lord blessed our ministry so much during that time. And even to this day, it's grown a ton. And I love, love, love what they do and the relationships that are built. And so once I had kids and I was trying to decide, okay, what do? I didn't feel like I needed to just be home at the time, that I needed to still work. A job opportunity came open at our church. So I've done children's ministry there, kind of been part-time, full-time, in between, depending on kind of what the season looks like with our family. But that's really worked right now with our schedule. But it's a lot of the same kids that I've served from CSM, from CGLA, from the neighborhoods I've been a part of. Now I get to see them at church. So the biggest thing for me is I've spent so much time in these relationships. I don't want them to go away. It takes so long to build trust in the neighborhoods that I've been in and served in, that the last thing I want to do. And obviously there are seasons of time where you can put more time in and you have to step back as well. But I just really have a longing not to lose those relationships that we've built and had, and the trust that we've had from community members. It's such a gift that we've been able to establish that and have friends in these communities. And so I've been able to do that at our church, and we go to a new city and it's a very multicultural church. A lot of our kids and families feel very welcome to go to church there. So that's been a big blessing to be a part of. And so now at this season with two infants and then two older boys, John Mark and I just keep saying, okay, what's next? We've had a lot of different roles and job opportunities on the table, and we've just really had to pray. And like I said, the Lord has kind of shut doors on some of those recently. And so we're just praying right now, like, Lord, where do you want us to be? But one of those is part of a micro school with CCS, and we're trying to figure out what that looks like. We would love for our kids to be in a school where they feel like they're with community members, not only at church and in our home, but also in this classroom. So we're exploring that opportunity. We're, it's just something I'm really passionate about. I don't know if any kind of work involvement or what volunteer involvement will come from that right now, but we're just super passionate about education. And I really feel like that's a place where a lot of the kids that we know who are smart and gifted don't get the opportunities to shine or to learn as early for several different reasons. So we're very passionate about the education point and want our little boys to be in a spot one day where they are in a classroom with people who don't look like them.
I love that. And that just kind of goes along with your family culture of being countercultural. And so when you kind of stepped into this ministry through Chattanooga Sports Ministry and had the opportunity to have the boys at your home and then had the opportunity to have them in a more semi-permanent type of way, what did some of the conversations look like with your family and peers and people around you on the topic of becoming legal guardians? How did people respond?
Oh, boy. Yeah. So like I said, John Mark and I were at a point where we were nervous ourselves about what does this look like? We were really sensitive to the boys' culture and what they grew up in. Honestly, we didn't feel equipped at all to step in to this role, and the Lord just continued to make it obvious. And so John Mark and I made it a point to kind of come to a decision we felt like the Lord was calling us to before we started telling a lot of people that this was the direction our family was going, because we knew we would get a lot of pushback, and we knew we were going to be looked at differently. We knew the boys were going to be looked at differently coming into a white family. There's just a lot of conversations that had to be had. We told both of our families, who initially I think were a little concerned, and I understand why. We were too caring for us. We, you know, had a 6-month-old. They care for us a lot and wanted to make sure we were protected and safe and all those things. But I think now, looking back, I probably would have said, you know, I was saying the same things to ourselves. Joe Mark and I just didn't want people to see that because we were nervous. We didn't know what it was going to look like. We're really concerned for the boys and their sake. Is this the best fit for them? Are they going to feel like they can be a part of our family and really feel that? What does this look like for their family? There was just a lot of levels that had to be worked through, and we're still having those conversations, and we still don't do any of that perfectly by any means, but we definitely had to have a lot of talks, and a lot of that happened with pastors at our church just giving us guidance. Our family, like I said, I think they were a little nervous at first, and then they were like, we're in this with you. And that was the biggest blessing, to hear them say, like, we got your back, we're going to support you and love you no matter what the Lord's calling you to. And I think about that example in my own kids one day with Justin, CJ, and Mac, and Will, and so the Lord gives us more one day. I want to be in the position to say, like, I may be a little bit nervous, and I'm going to be able to say that to you, but I want you to do what the Lord's called you to do, and I'm going to support you in that. And so that speaks volumes to us in the way that our families have stepped in and loved us and loved the boys and loved Mac and Will and just been huge helpers and coming alongside of us and doing ministry. So I'm so grateful. But those conversations are hard, and they're hard. They were hard between John Mark and I. We weren't always on the same page. We didn't always feel the same way about the situation. It was hard between our families. It was hard between outsiders. It's so hard. Just we're so young, and we have kids, and people are always trying to figure out the dynamic of our family. And we get a lot of looks, and I'm sure the boys get more looks and talks than we even know or that they share with us. But they're old enough too that we can have a lot of conversations with them, and we've been really open about having those conversations about race and culture and a lot of those things, family. So it's been a gift to be open and talk about those things instead of ignore it and shove it and say we're not going to address these hard things. It's really a gift to be able to enter into that with people.
That's amazing. And I love that you talk about fear, you address fear, but you don't stay there. And I think that so often Christians, the more comfortable we get, comfort is a really dangerous thing, right? Because if we get so accustomed to our life that we can't change our life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of allowing someone else into our home, it just... And it becomes, and I've seen this in my own life, like when I was single, I didn't really have to call on anybody else to speak into my life. Like my husband, I just went for it. So I, when I was 22 or 23 years old, bought a house in what I like to call the hood. I mean, I was the only white girl on the street. I wanted to be countercultural. I wanted to love my neighbors well. And we still live in a neighborhood that's extremely diverse, and we've had the ability to build relationships with people that don't look like us, and it's been incredible. And then there's times where we have been burned, and you know that story. And
yeah,
it's tough to get back on the horse after that, to be honest. And then we had a baby, and then all of a sudden our lens is through the eyes of safety for what is best for him. And I think part of that is great, and part of that is prudence and knowing wisdom and all of that kind of stuff. But when our wisdom and prudence, have they gone too far, and when have they built walls against people? Right. And so I think that that's kind of this delicate balance that I'm trying to figure out, because I used to be bold. I used to be wild. I used to be fearless. And then as I get older and I start watching the news, I'm like, wow, there really is evil out there. So I don't want to be someone that's just blind to the potential of myself or my family getting hurt. But I also don't want to turn a blind eye to those who are hurting. So I think that you've done such an incredible job. And I just want to encourage anyone who has the tug on their heart to be countercultural. And if you are a Christian, that's you. If you follow Jesus, that's you. And if it sounds terrifying to allow people into your home that aren't your biological family, you can start by just having people over for dinner. If it's just that terrifying, like I think that that's the first step. And just doing life with people that have stepped into foster care, adoption, legal guardianship, those types of relationships will foster that kind of the heart opening that is sometimes we think is a calling that is so audible from God, but sometimes it's truly of just, I don't know the right word, maybe through osmosis of like, if I'm doing life with a bunch of people that have stepped out in faith to do adoption or foster care or step in the lives of young ones while they're in transition, then of course, if I have a handful of friends doing that, then I'm going to feel more open to it. So I think that it's a lot of just surrounding ourselves with people that we want our lives to look like. And sometimes that's scary. And I know in the future, I think that we have some things on the horizon where we're going to have an opportunity to be around a lot more families that have been in foster care and adoption. And part of it is scary because I've thought my whole life that would be a part of my story. But as I've grown my own family, that safety and that fear has kind of crept in of like, what does this look like as far as change to what I've become accustomed to? But I think that people often think that Christians have such a boring life because they have all these rules, and that's legalism. But honestly, the Christian life is the most adventurous life possible.
And yes.
I just think that it's so full of joy. It's kind of a roller coaster, but in the most beautiful way possible. We learn so much about God's glory. We learn so much about his heart for us. We learn so much about ourselves, our spouses. We learn about our selfishness. We learn about the joy. We learn how to persevere through trials. I mean, it is a phenomenal character builder to be truly walking out the Christian faith. So I just really, really love that about you and your husband and the family culture that you've created. And just so encouraged, and I hope that this episode is really, really encouraging to people that are kind of teetering with the idea of being countercultural in the way that they open their home. So what is something...
And like you said, you can start in a really simple way. Like right now, our family is even serving our neighborhood. We have a neighborhood meal at the end of every month, and we're just inviting anyone in our neighborhood to come. And our boys serve in that too. And so starting with something small, just getting to know the people around you is huge. And then the Lord will continue to use you or guide you in the way that he wants you to serve.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is maybe something about your story that people may not know, that you want them to know, or that they may not see on the surface?
I think... this whole process has just been such a journey. I love how the Lord has just continued to write our story. And I think maybe something people wouldn't know, I think John Mark and I can come across as pretty go with the flow, chill people. But we like struggle so much, just like anyone else, to follow Jesus. And it's something that we have to continually lay down our burdens and our cross daily and work on our marriage, work on our relationship with our kids, work on our relationship with Christ. And if that's not there, at the end of the day, what are we doing this for? Mm-hmm. I always am nervous, honestly, to tell some of our story because I don't want people to look and say, wow, they're living so differently and they have it all together. Like we are so far from having anything together. But there's so much beauty and grace that we've experienced. And like I said, our lives are so rich by stepping out and saying, Lord, use us the way you want to use us. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We're just trying to make the next best decision that we feel like he puts on our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want anyone listening to this to think, wow, I can't do that. You can do that. You can live counterculturally and the Lord will use you. And it's not always pretty. And John Mark and I struggle a lot. And our marriage has had to really work a lot to have a foundation to do the things that we do. Because ultimately, if we don't have a strong marriage, we can't serve in the capacity we are. And so we've had to work on that a lot. And it's been really beautiful to experience that with him. And I'm so thankful the Lord gave me a teammate in John Mark. He is an amazing husband, an amazing dad. And I couldn't do any of this without him. So if you're doing this, whether you're looking to serve and you're single, make sure you find a teammate who's around you to help you, do this. If you're married, work on your relationship with your spouse and really look at what it means to serve together. Cause John Mark and I, just like anyone else, are sinners and we have to have each other, to point to Christ. And so I'm so grateful for that. So yeah, I think I would say, anyone can follow Jesus. It's just about opening your heart. And we don't do that well all the time. The Lord's given us a lot of grace. And so I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. And I love that you constantly point back to the fact that you do things imperfectly, because I so often see people that put, people doing ministry on a pedestal and they're like, well, I could never be them. And I love that you reach out to people and say, we didn't think we could do it either. We don't do it perfectly and we don't know what the future has for us. And
our poor kids, I'm like, they're going to look back and be like, man, that was all messed up. But the Lord has been so faithful and we feel like we're just doing what he's called us to do. So thanks for that. But oh man, it's hard. And we never want to seem like we have it together because we don't at all.
And I think there's a beauty in that too. I think the people that I glean the most wisdom from in life are those who are willing to say, here's where I messed up. Here's the facepalm moments. Here are the ways that I totally thought I was on track with God and I totally missed him. And I think that those are where we really learn. And I think that that's where we grow. And so when people, I would always be weary of people that act like life isn't crazy and it's not a mess if they are living on mission. My pastor back home in Florida, where I'm from, he has 4 biological kids and 4 adopted from Ethiopia. And the long story made short of it is that they went, I think, for 1 little girl, and she had siblings, and then she had more siblings, and then now he's a family of 8, and he always talks about how crazy it is, and he does not try to hide, even though he's the lead pastor of a church, he does not try to hide the messiness and the craziness of stepping out on faith and living missionally, and that has always just been so touching to my heart, and it's just been so honest and real, so I love that in you as well, is that just to be able to say, like, this is the best adventure you will ever go on, but it is wild, and it is definitely one that will change you for hopefully the better, and
totally
even though it is hard. So you kind of touched on some of the advice that you would give to someone, is just start small and believe that you can do it, take small steps. But how I so often hear people ask me when I've had an opportunity to do something really neat, is how do I find the opportunity? How do I seek this out? I've never heard of this ministry. How did you get involved? And so how do you hear about opportunities, first and foremost, to be able to even say yes to them?
Well, we honestly, our church is so community driven, and we have so many opportunities at our church. So that kind of started all of this, was in our church body. So if you go to a church that serves, I would say get involved there first, because really, ultimately, when we're serving for the kingdom, we need a church body. So even the people that we're serving, we have to know we're not the church. We need people to be a part of the church body. And so anyone we serve, we kind of have the goal to get them plugged into a church, whether that's at CSM, our neighbors, whatever that looks like. And that's not an overnight thing. Like I said, this takes a long time to build relationships. And so there's a place you can start in your church. I would say do that. But we live in a city. Man, Chattanooga has so many ministry opportunities. And if I would say, look at what the Lord has gifted you in and made you passionate about. So for me, I played soccer in college. It was sports, and soccer is a huge part of my life. And I was gifted in that. And so to be able to use that gift and serve at the same time was like, this is awesome. And so everyone has a gift that they've been given, whether it's cooking, whether it's serving, your neighbors next door, cleaning, helping someone out. Like, there's always a gift that you've been given, sports, all kinds of things, interior design. Like, I know there's ministries in Chattanooga that help women, design their house. There's all kinds of stuff that the Lord has given you passions for. So if you can use that gift and serve, that's amazing. Teaching, tutoring, like, there's so many opportunities. And so I think thinking about, okay, what is the Lord specifically gifted me in, and how can I use that to serve him and bring people into the kingdom? I would start there. And then there's so many opportunities around the city to serve. So, yes. And if anyone had any questions, I just been around the nonprofit world for a little bit and exposed to a lot of ministries. I would love if someone reached out and said, hey, like, I'm really good at this. Where do you think I could connect? I would be honored and love to have that conversation with anyone.
Oh, thanks, Hannah. That's incredible. And I couldn't have said it better. That's truly the heartbeat of this podcast, is that I would have listeners that would hear opportunities and that they would run towards the very thing that God has for them in not only just in random ministry, but in the ministry that God's called them to, because there's just such a less burnout rate for people that are in their calling, because if God's uniquely designed us to do it, then it doesn't feel like work, and it is difficult at times, and there is work to be done, but it doesn't feel as exhausting or draining when we are doing it in community, when we're doing it for the purpose of serving the Lord, and when we do it with a heart that just knows that he has uniquely called us to this. So thank you for that. And lastly, if you were to see your 18-year-old self today, what would you say to her?
Oh, man, I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday, and it kind of scares me to look back at that and think, okay, what would I have told myself? And I think I can often get just paralyzed by anxiety or fear of what I feel like the Lord's calling me to. And so I think I would tell myself, you know, be bold and continue to step into where the Lord is calling you. And don't let fear and anxiety, like, lay that down. I feel like I have honestly missed some opportunities that the Lord could have made even richer, maybe, or maybe even fuller. If I just leaned in on him and said, I am not going to fear what you have in front of me. And so much of my anxiety, I think, would be put to rest if I did that. Whether that was trying to figure out when to get married, what other people think, what, you know, so many things that we just are constantly thinking, whether we do it in our conscience or, like, out loud, we're so worried about what other people think.
Yes.
And if I could just step away and say, Hannah, do what the Lord has called you to do. Be wise. Listen to good friends. Not to ignore everyone, but don't be fearful and just paralyzed with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I would tell myself.
That's amazing. Hannah, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure, and I'm so glad that even though we had lots of obstacles heading
yes.
our way, that we were able to overcome and
yes,
you were able
thank
to
you,
share.
Lord.
This is just such a blessing, and your friendship has just been such a blessing to me as I watch you. And when we met, I was in the thick of hurt in this area of having a relationship with two boys similar ages to yours, and they were in our neighborhood, and we just bonded over the story of that, the fact that you knew them, and also just the fact that it doesn't always work out, and there's a lot of questions to God of why did I have so much love for these kids and then
right.
they were ripped out of my hands. And it's just it's a heartbreaking story, but anytime I'm with you, it just reminds me that it's not over, and that prepared me for the next time I get to say yes. And so thank you for your wisdom, for your strength, for your boldness, for your faithfulness and your willingness to be a prayerful woman, a prayerful spouse, a prayerful mom, and just to be so servant-hearted and a servant leader in the way that you say, you know that you have really strong set of gifts that could be used in so many different ways, and you're using to choose them or to use them for the kingdom. And so I'm just so thankful to have you in my life, and I'm so thankful that you are able to do this episode.
Well, thank you for thinking of me and having me, and I'm just excited where the Lord continues to lead. And like I said, if anybody has any follow-up questions, we're open books around here, so they can call or say anything.
That's awesome.
I'm all about that.
Terrific. Well, ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His purpose and His glory. Go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.